Welcome to Talking with Ann on Newstalk 1400 and 92.3 WOND. Want to talk politics or what's happening in your town? This is the place. Want to give your opinion on what's happening locally, nationally, or even internationally? This is the place. And if you want civil dialogue, no matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, this is the place. Talking with Ann on Newstalk 1400 and 92.3 WOND.
Except this is not Ann, not this morning. This is Seth Grossman of LibertyAndProsperity.com. And I've been giving you, during the first hour, a little dose of what we do at our LibertyAndProsperity.com meetings. Or actually, not really meetings, and more or less breakfast discussions that we have every Saturday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's Pizza. But it's also, he has a banquet room and he serves breakfast. And anyone can come to our LibertyAndProsperity.com breakfast who believes basically in America and American liberty and wants to talk about the liberty and culture that gave us our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our American way of doing things. And we always learn something. So we do talk about the events of the day. And I welcome, Alex Abune. I know he's ticked off, but we always give preference to new callers, people who never did call before, who are influenced by what we're doing here. So I hope Alex will understand that, because we can't make it with just the people who are active and who know what's going on now. We've got to reach out to newer people, to younger people. We've got to form majorities to preserve the greatness of America. And America truly was great. And when we propose doing things to make America better, it's not like we at LibertyAndProsperity.com or Christians or Republicans or conservatives, we're not coming up with any radical, dangerous ideas. I mean, you think we are, the way you hear the hysterical mainstream media talk about, oh, we're a threat to democracy, we're a threat to America, we're a threat to the First Amendment. No. Everything we're proposing is stuff that had been done in America for 300 years, and it worked. So basically, for the first hour, I was talking about how culture changes the politics. And I was talking about the hypocrisy of the folk singers who shaped my generation. I was talking about how the Pete Seegers and the Woody Guthries and the Almanac Singers and the Weavers of the 1940s and late 1930s shaped the Bob Dylans and the Peter Paul and Marys and the Joni Mitchells and Bob Dylans, how they led to the protest music that really undermined all faith in America as a good country. And we're paying a price for that right now. And it took 50 or 60 years to destroy the foundation of America. And those of us who love America and who love the country that our parents and grandparents gave us of that boomer generation, it's going to take us 50, 60 years to restore it, if we can restore it. But we really have to work pretty hard to do it. By the way, I want to change the topic, but if we do get a chance, maybe later on in the hour, another example of hypocrisy. When I say hypocrisy, it's not hypocrisy, actually. It's just that like Pete Seeger believed in everything he was doing. He believed that America was evil. He believed that communists and socialists like him were smarter and more compassionate and more understanding than most other dumb Americans. And so he was determined to say whatever he had to say or do whatever he had to do to tear down America and build up his communist socialist movement. So if he would be for peace one day and be singing for war the next day, it was all consistent to him, because he was just destroying his enemies and building up his own cause any way he could. Same thing if he is singing in sympathy of the working man, the miner, the farmer, the man working at the docks, the man working at the factory. If he's praising him and glorifying him one day, and then when that working class American succeeded in moving out of the crowded tenement of the cities or out of the impoverished farmhouse and moved into a prosperous suburbs and sent his kid to college and had a good life, with a car and vacations and summer camp, suddenly he's denouncing those people as shallow and not worthy of respect. But again, it wasn't that he was a hypocrite. He was just singing what it took to make his leftist movement strong, to praise people one day, and then he could denounce them the next day if that's what it took. And I want to switch topics to talk about climate, but Pete Seeger did something very similar with War and Peace. You'll notice Pete Seeger sang songs, peace songs, where have all the flowers gone? But then again, he would sing other songs. He wanted Americans to be peaceful. He wanted Europeans to be peaceful. But then he'd sing songs like Cristo ya nació. Christ was born in Nicaragua, and he became a guerrilla fighter, and he started murdering anyone who disagreed with his politics. But that was what Pete Seeger was glorifying. You see, it's not that all war is bad. Wars of national liberation are good. Wars to kill Americans are good. It's just the wars, when Americans try to defend themselves, they're the wars that are bad. But we'll get there later, maybe. All right, the phone lines are open, 609-927-1100. I was hoping I'd stall enough to let Alex call in, but if Alex does call in, yeah, we'll drop everything and bring him right on. Hurricane Sandy. Let me repeat. Hurricane Sandy, we knew that storm was coming 10 years ago, just before Halloween. And if you believe the garbage you read in the newspaper from the mainstream media, and the Press of Atlantic City is printing these stories day after day, you see it on TV, you see it on, hear it on the radio, that in 2012, Hurricane Sandy was a superstorm that caused incredible destruction and death. And it's just the beginning of a new breed of superstorms caused by climate change. And that if we don't quickly build wind turbines, and if we don't build solar panels, if we don't completely revolutionize the way of stop driving cars, that we will end up regretting it and have even more storms in the future. Well, I want to continue that thought, but I see we have, it looks like, a regular caller who's calling himself Supreme this time. So I will bring Supreme on. Let's see what he has to say. Maybe he actually wants to be on the topic of the hurricanes and climate change, but we'll find out. Supreme, welcome to the program. I'm Seth Grossman.
Yes, thank you. I have a quick question. Let's just say if I go through the training and universities to become a scholar or a professor, right? I did all the training, all the education. Now, if I go through that process and another person goes through that process, How come we don't see the same thing?
Well, I guess it depends, right? Scholar, what's a scholar? A scholar is someone who reads books. A scholar is somebody who writes something. Is a scholar something who studies something? You're being very vague in general there, Supreme.
Okay, I'll break it down. A scholar that studies history or study things through literature, through books,
okay,
education. They didn't live in that time, but they're reading about it. Now, if two parties go through the same course, but they recite differently on history, but they both went through the same process, how's that?
Well, it's very easy to explain. because all that history is people write down their experiences, and some people are truthful and some people are not truthful. Some people make honest mistakes. Some people teach history the way George Orwell warned people would teach history, where you just make up stuff about the past so you could justify doing stupid things in the present. So you're not really giving me any information to make that judgment. So in other words, when you read history,
go ahead. If we both read the same material of the past, the same material, we should be on the same page, correct?
Not necessarily, because
how so?
Well, there's something called critical thinking. And of course,
I don't mean all that. I mean, we just read the same material. That's why I think critical thinking and your own mind. If you just recite from what you read, we both should recite the same thing, just from the material that we read, not from my own mind.
All right. So let's just take a concrete example. Like one of the most controversial issues today, which in my view should not be controversial because it's open and shut. Was the Civil War fought about ending slavery, right? So you could read a whole lot of books by Southern racists like Woodrow Wilson, who will say, oh, no, the Civil War was not fought about slavery. The South just wanted to be free of not paying tariffs, right? So you could read those books. So just because I read a book by Woodrow Wilson that said the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery, and I read that book and you read that book, does that mean we're going to reach the same conclusion? And the answer is no, because other people besides Woodrow Wilson wrote and said and did a lot of stuff that completely contradicts Woodrow Wilson. So you have to understand why Woodrow Wilson would want to lie in his history. You would want to know what sources he left out, what sources he left in. So it's a complicated process. So I wish I could indulge you more, but you know, there's no such thing as historians reading the exact same things, because there's a whole world of material out there. And
go ahead. That's my point, exactly. So when you recite or revisit certain things, you share with your audience. Don't mean that is the only truth, or there could be more to that. When you spouse out what you have read or revisit, right? So I'm saying one way don't make it right all the time, correct?
Yeah, well, we have that in my occupation. I'm a lawyer. It happens all the time. You will have a trial. There's an auto accident, and you'll see six witnesses will say that the light was red for one guy, and six witnesses will say the light was green. And the jury has to try to figure out who was able to see better, who's more likely to lie, who's more likely to tell the truth. Dealing with human beings is it's complicated, and it's even more complicated when it comes to history. Because all the people who know the real truth are dead. So we have to somehow figure things out, right?
Exactly. So even though you stand on what you teach, you stand on it because you figure this is the truth. This is how I see it.
Right.
Let go. One more thing. You have people that are in prison because of what you just said, because of the jury. Got it wrong, right?
Right. And there are also people who should be in prison. Right. And it works the other way around, doesn't it? There are people who should be in prison but are not in prison because they were able to fool the jury into thinking that they were innocent when they were really guilty as hell. Yeah.
Right.
That happens.
My point is not trying to fool nobody. Sometimes we have to revisit our material.
All right. Well, that's a very good, you know, if we were in college talking about this, this is what we do at college. This is what we do at our libertyandprosperity.com meetings. So we're making progress in a step of what we call critical thinking. So Supreme, it was great talking to you, and now I'd like to talk about hurricanes and climate, okay?
Thank you.
All right. This is Liberty and Seth Grossman speaking for libertyandprosperity.com. And I guess I have, what, 6 minutes before the bottom of the hour break? Okay. So let's talk about Hurricane Sandy. And I see all the phones are lighting up, so this could be a case. Will the host or guest host for Ann Baker have a chance to get a word in edgewise? But here's what my recollection of Hurricane Sandy is. That Hurricane Sandy was not a superstorm. It was not a severe storm as storms go. It had top winds of 80 to 90 miles per hour. It was like very, very many harmless storms that came up the coast that caused minor damage. But something was special about Hurricane Sandy that was just about bad luck and nothing about the intensity of the storm. Remember, it was coming up the coast, and then it just stopped. It just stopped about 50 miles off the coast of Cape May, and it sat there. And for 3 or 4 days, those winds, those northeast winds, just piled up water and water and water in the back bays. And then, suddenly, after 3 days, Sandy did something that a hurricane had never done before in my lifetime. Instead of going out to sea on a normal path, it took a left hook, and the center of the storm came right over Summers Point, New Jersey. And I looked at it, and I saw it. And what happens when the eye of a storm passes over Summers Point, New Jersey, the wind suddenly shifts from the northeast to the southwest. And all that water that had been piled up in the back bays for 3 days suddenly slammed into the bay between Ocean City and Summers Point, between Atlantic City and Brigantine and Absecon and Pleasantville. And it just so happened it was a full moon with a super high full moon tide, and it all happened at high tide. And that's what caused the danger. Let's see. Let's go to John of Atlantic City. John, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hello.
Okay, put your radio down if you could.
Okay.
All right. We don't want to have that.
You hear me?
I can, John. Okay, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm listening and I'm hearing the various comments you make. I appreciate your attempt at being as candid as you can possibly be. But I'm also at a point, I'm 79 years of age, an African-American. And the one thing that is absolutely, astoundingly true, that America is the most preposterous country when it comes down to racism. It is something that will always be and always has been. We have not been an inclusive part of this population, except for when you want to make crime a color.
All right. Well, John, wait, we're short. Know. What are your thoughts of Sarah Spencer Washington? What do you think of Sarah Spencer Washington?
Spencer Washington.
You never heard of her, did you?
No.
All right, well, I'll tell you briefly. She was a hairdresser on Baltic Avenue about 1910, 1912, and she was frustrated because there were no hair products to treat the hair of her African-American clients.
Yeah.
So she went to Columbia University to study chemistry, came back, developed her own products, and became a multimillionaire in Atlantic City. Within 5 or 6 years, she formed something called the Apex Beauty Supply. She published a newspaper. She was a good Republican. The fact that you don't know who she is shows that you have been getting a warped history to bias. What?
Who was Toussaint L'Ouverture?
Who's Overture?
Toussaint L'Ouverture.
I don't know. Who was he?
You don't know anything about him.
All right, don't you think that Sarah?
He was black. You know, I mean.
Right. Okay, you pronounce it wrong.
My skin.
All right. Okay.
About being black.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
and you don't know anything. And guess what, John? John, I'm going to have to hang up on you. John, and you don't know anything about being Jewish, and you don't know anything about being Italian or Irish, and what you don't understand is that every single group of human beings, every nation, every ethnic group, has at one point been an oppressor, has at one point been a victim. And because you have been taught this nonsense that only African Americans or blacks are the only people in the world who ever suffered discrimination, and had to overcome it, you have been seduced by the socialism of those Pete Seegers. Anyway, we'll get back to the storm after these messages. Seth Grossman, libertyandprosperity.com. Sitting in frame.
A suspect is in custody in connection with a shooting at a high school this morning in St. Louis. Two students are hospitalized. A guilty plea from accused Michigan high school shooter Ethan Crumbly to all 24 counts against him. Lawyer Wolf Muller represents two of the victims.
It was cold-blooded what he did. And while he may have been dealt a bad set of cards with the parents, it's still a choice that he made.
The 16-year-old faces the possibility of life in prison. The UK has a new prime minister.
I am humbled and honoured to have the support of my parliamentary colleagues and to be elected as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party.
Rishi Sunak will be Britain's first leader of colour. He replaces Liz Truss, who stepped down after about 6 weeks on the job. The pediatric triple threat, COVID, the flu and RSV, a respiratory virus, are already putting a strain on hospitals in 43 states and D.C. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The Broadleys WOND Weather Center.
Happy Monday to you, South Jersey. Cloudy, overcast skies are the story today. We could see a few stray showers this morning. Damp and dreary with a breeze coming from the north and northeast. High temperatures will only be in the low 60s. Tonight, more clouds. Lows in the upper 50s by Tuesday morning. Tuesday, more not great weather with cloudy, overcast skies. A few stray showers possible Tuesday. During the morning, we could see minor coastal flooding with high temperatures in the afternoon in the mid-60s. For Longport Media, I'm meteorologist Alexa Trischler.
WOND News time is 11:32. Currently, the ocean water temperature is 62. Right now, we have 63 in Mays Landing, 62 in Cape May Courthouse, and on the world-famous boardwalk in Atlantic City, cloudy skies and 62 degrees. I'm Scott Stevens, WOND News. Keep it here. For more breaking news as it happens throughout the day, we'll get back to Seth Grossman in for Ann Baker and Talking with Ann next on News Talk 1492.3 WOND, South Jersey's News Talk leader.
Gah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending Uma and their all-in-one phone, video, and collaboration solution.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Uma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Uma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Uma, smart communications for the smarter business.
Cast your vote on Election Day and then tune in to WOND for real-time election results and instant analysis. Join us starting at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 8th as our own Dan Klein teams with ABC News anchor Aaron Katursky, White House correspondent Karen Travers, and a team of analysts to bring you exclusive coverage of all the local, statewide, and national races that will shape our future. WOND's Election Night coverage, Tuesday, November 8th at 7 on News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND.
WOND Pleasantville.
Live and local radio you can depend on. News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND. South Jersey's News Talk leader. Listen online at WONDradio.com.
And this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Ann Baker. Just a quick correction. Anyone who heard the previous conversation with John of Atlantic City. So I asked him, he was saying how America is such an unfair, unjust country that someone who's black never had a fair chance in America. And I described Sarah Spencer Washington, who came to Atlantic City, became a multimillionaire, and I could spend like 3 hours just talking about her. But her monument or plaque is right there on I guess it's at Martin Luther King Boulevard and I believe it's on Arctic Avenue. But I could talk about her success story. I could talk about Reggie Edgehill, the greatest host in the Jersey Coast. I could talk about the black multimillionaire John McKee, who McKee City in Egg Harbor Township is named after. I could talk about Dr. Charles Wilson. I could talk about I could go on and on about all these success stories in Atlantic City. The fact of Washington and Pleasantville wrote that Atlantic City was the new promised land for blacks coming from the South. So you have all these success stories there. Meanwhile, the historical figure that John was talking about, I know who he was talking about. I just didn't, you know, hear the way he pronounced the name. I didn't recognize it. I think that you pronounce his name Overture. Was the leader of a black rebellion in Haiti against Napoleon's French in 1804. And it's very interesting because you see what happened in America. In America, we had 310,000 white people together, white men, and 40,000 black men together died to end slavery in this country. In our Civil War, and then built a new country with blacks and whites like Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass working together to give all sorts of opportunity for everybody, regardless of color. But John of Atlantic City says, oh, no, no, America's a bad country. Now, what's a good country? Well, according to John of Atlantic City, Haiti is a good country. Haiti is probably the poorest, most violent, corrupt, and miserable country in the world. And it's 95% black. The government has been run by blacks ever since their revolution in 1804, and it's very interesting. You know what the color of the flag of Haiti is? It's red and blue. And you know why it's red and blue? Because that Overture guy, when he succeeded in his revolution, he took the French flag, which is red, white, and blue. He cut out the white panel in the middle and just made a red and blue flag. And then he murdered 90% of all the whites in Haiti because they were white and he took all their property. So did that bring prosperity to Haiti? No, it did not. It brought more poverty, misery, violence, crime, you name it. So why is it that guys like John of Atlantic City admire, the black run, black culture, everything's perfectly black, Black Lives Matter in Haiti, where black lives mean nothing, and probably 90% of the population in Haiti would move to America if they had a chance. But yet he denounces America as being an unfair, evil country. Let's go to Eric of Margate. Eric, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hey, Seth, it's Eric. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. I think you're getting your storms mixed up.
Which storm?
The March storm was the storm that stalled for 3 days.
The which one?
And remember the March storm in the 60s?
Well, that wasn't even a named hurricane. That did the same thing.
But Hurricane Sandy, when it came up, it didn't stall. See, you're right about the full moon, though. If you have a hurricane and with a full moon, listen, when you just look at the normal tides of a full moon, all the marshes are covered and the water's really high. So if you have a hurricane with a surge and a full moon, I knew this island was going underwater. You know, I stashed the cars, the trucks, my neighbors. We rode the storm out. We put them up in the Tropicana, fourth floor, and rode bikes home because it was a Sunday and it was nice and sunny out, and the hurricane rolled through on a Monday.
Yeah,
so if it had stalled, we'd been getting weather for a couple of days.
Look, we can't argue over the facts because I remember it quite clearly, and I will look it up and document it. No, the storm did not stall here for 3 days. It stalled about 50 miles offshore. So we didn't have any storm at all. I mean, it was off the coast. In other words, what normally these storms do, these hurricanes, they have a track where first they start off like off of South Carolina. Then it actually hit. I think Sandy actually did hit the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And then it kept moving north. It was out to sea, and we forgot about it because it seemed that it was on its way out to Nova Scotia or Canada or wherever the heck these storms go to. But it was offshore, and then I heard the term a lot, and I remember it clearly. It took what's called a left hook. Storms never take a left hook like that. And
did the pressure system push it left?
It was like one of these rare things that happened, in 200 years. It was a wild coincidence because the storms never move in that direction. But that's what made it differently. And I remember, I think it was a Monday, I was in my office, and I remember looking up, and suddenly it got sunny and clear. The eye of the storm moved right over Summers Point. I remember the wind was not all that bad. I thought, oh, it's a big nothing storm. But what happened is about an hour or two later, that wind that had been coming from the northeast, and by the way, one of the reasons I know this so well is the Seth Grossman Law Office sign. It used to be perpendicular in front of my office. Now it's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's leaning towards the Dairy Queen, and that's because you had that strong northeast wind when the storm first came ashore, and then suddenly, within an hour or so, the wind was going just as strong in the opposite direction from the southwest, and that's when it pushed all that water right back in the back bay. And I remember checking the damage that the Sandy storm along the beachfront wasn't that bad. Most of the damage came on the bayside. In Summers Point on Bay Avenue, it was totally flooded. Margate, that area.
I know, I was here.
Yeah.
Well, the beach blocks here had close to a foot of sand all the way to Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah,
was pushed. They did. All I know is one thing. If there's a hurricane and the full moon's going to coincide with it, we're going underwater no matter what.
Exactly.
Whether you had northeast wind, we're going underwater. If a hurricane comes at a full moon, be prepared. The island's going underwater again.
Right. But but what they're saying, and this is what bothered me so much, let's break down the storm. So you had the full moon, and just the fact that the storm had been 50 miles offshore with those northeast winds just pushing water into the back bay, and then having when the eye of the storm comes across, it pushes the back bay into the bay. So you had a moderate storm. I mean, the winds were never higher than 90 miles an hour. It was not a killer storm like Ian. It didn't have that storm surge like Ian, 25-foot storm surge. Because, again, the ocean side in Longport, it pushed the sand to the into the streets, but it did not do the same thing to the like in Ocean City and most of Atlantic City. The Atlantic City boardwalk had virtually no damage, but what right. happened is, in response to that storm, you had Chris Christie said it was the monster storm of the century. He coined the term Superstorm Sandy to get the billions of dollars of federal aid. He sucked up to Obama to talk about how this is the storm of the century. We need all this extra money. And what really burned me up is he said we had to have sand dunes in Margate and all along the coast, and that anyone who did not want sand dunes was selfish, and that because you had the rich owners of the beachfront homes did not want sand dunes, it's their fault that they had flooding and death because of Sandy, when and I know that water came from the back bay. It did not come from the ocean. So that's the point I was trying to make.
I watched it come up.
What?
I watched it come up. I was the back of my house. I could see the bay. And that's when Christie, he declared that you couldn't leave. Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. The other reason we had more damage is I remember from the 62 storm, the minute the water went down, I lived on Pacific Avenue, Atlantic City. My dad, we pumped out the basement. We opened up the windows. We dried everything out, and we got things back together again. But with Sandy, it was like a bad Holocaust movie. They put state troopers at the roads. You couldn't get back to your house. People would try to get yeah.
The next day, the next morning, I ran up with my neighbor. We got all the cars back. We rode our bikes back up to the Tropicana and got all the cars back. Next thing, they declared you couldn't leave. And then I had a friend of mine. He was an Air Force pilot off of carriers. He lived a couple doors over. He had to go check on his mother in Northfield or something, and he went over the Margate Bridge, and they wouldn't let him back to Margate when he had little kids. And so he blew the roadblock, and he had to go in the court. They charged him $500 fine for trying to get back, for getting back home to his house.
And what that did, by the way, it kept people from going back to their homes. This is Christie, Governor Christie, kept people getting back to their businesses. So a lot of the damage was caused by mold and the water soaking into property, where if you would have pumped it out and dried it out, there would have been a lot less damage. So I was just very angry at the way Christie was more interested in getting all that federal money, in making himself a hero, in sucking up to Obama, and in repeating the lies of the left that, oh, this is climate change, and we have to change our ways and have sand, you know. So that's when I learned how these lies get to become the truth. So I'm glad we had this conversation.
Well, Christie's motivation was to run for president eventually. That's what he was trying to do when he met Obama, because the governor of New York refused to have Obama come there. And Christie invited him to Brigantine.
And had his arm around him. Remember that?
And it cost Mitt Romney, partially cost Mitt Romney that election.
It happened 3 days before the election.
Absolutely.
So, by the way, that's why I actually ran against. Here's the rest of the story. So then I go to run against Chris Christie at the height of his popularity. Seth Grossman of Atlantic City runs against Chris Christie in Republican primary election. And I have this story to tell about how Christie lied about the hurricane, lied about the sand dunes, was promoting the big lie of the left that it was the rich people with their beachfront homes that caused the death and destruction for people along the Back Bay because they didn't have the sand dunes, lie after lie. So it's a good story to tell, but nobody would tell the story. And I found out, I actually find out, I'm talking to like 101.5, the radio, the TV, and reporters are actually crying. They said, we love to cover your story. What you're saying is absolutely right. But Chris Christie has so much money for advertising money. Remember the Stronger Than the Storm advertising money? Where they would have Christie's wife would say, we're doing so much for the suffering. Well, besides boosting, using government money to have all these TV ads building up himself and his wife, they also made it clear that if you have Seth Grossman or you have anybody critical of the governor on your, covered by your newspaper or your radio station or your TV station, we're not so sure you'll qualify for that Stronger Than the Storm advertising money. And basically, that money corrupted every mainstream media source in New Jersey. And I learned that the hard way, long before Trump talked about the fake media. Anyway, we're beating this one to death, but thanks so much for calling
in. Great to talk with you, Seth. Take care.
Same here. LibertyandProsperity.com is where we have these conversations over Saturday morning breakfast. It's at 12 minutes before 12 here on News Talk 1400. Seth Grossman sitting in for Ann Baker. Let me see if some other Sandy-related stories I just want to mention. I noticed that for a while, they're not doing it anymore because people saw through that. But for a while, the Democrat left-wing woke mainstream media, whatever you want to call them, was blaming Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida for the high number of deaths caused in the Fort Myers area because about 50 or 60 people did not evacuate in time. And so they either stayed in their homes. And if anyone has seen the time-lapsed pictures of what sections of Fort Myers look like, with a 20 to 25 foot storm surge pulled in, you could see that if you stayed in your house, you didn't have a chance of surviving. If you, at the last minute, realized the water was going to be higher than you thought and you hopped in your car and tried to get out of there, you would not make it out of there on time. So there were probably about 60 to 70 deaths. But would those people have left if the government did make an announcement saying it's we really order you to evacuate right now? And by the way, most of the experts did not know exactly when to evacuate because at the time, the storm appeared to be heading towards the Tampa-St. Pete area, about 50 or 60 miles to the north. And one thing that you learn about these hurricanes, and I was fooled myself for many years about this, is that the hurricane with the storm surge that is deadly, with that storm surge, that thing is only about 30 miles wide. So if you're 100 miles away and the hurricane passes, you think the hurricane passed, oh, it wasn't so bad. You don't realize that you didn't really get hit by the real hurricane. But rather than blame DeSantis, what I think caused a lot of these people not to leave is that we have the emergency management people for the past 15 years, because they want to promote this, this agenda of climate change and green energy, because they want to promote this hysteria, and the media wants to get all the attention to make sure you're glued to your TV set and watching their station. We've had far too many false alarms. Because I remember Hurricane Sandy was in 2012. And I remember clearly that for the year before, in 2011, maybe I'm getting my names and my storms mixed up, could be Hurricane Irene, where they ordered a mass evacuation and the roads are clogged. The Garden State Parkway is tied up for hours of people evacuating like a week before Labor Day, the height of our season. Completely ruined the economy because the officials issued these evacuation warnings way too early with no evidence that you had that type of a killer storm or that the storm was intensifying. They did that when the storm was still over North Carolina and had weakened quite a bit. And I believe a year or two before that, they did the same thing. So part of the problem is, if you order evacuations and you say with hindsight, well, they should have ordered all these evacuations, we would have saved lives. Not necessarily, because again, when you order evacuations and it turns out to be nothing instead of saving lives, you just make people more complacent so they don't take the real warnings going on later on. The other point about hurricanes I'd like to point out, still in the press of Atlantic City, story after story promoting the lie that Hurricane Ian had a storm surge and it had heavy rain because of climate change. Wrong, big lie. We prove it in our libertyandprosperity.com website. Just go to our website. If it's not on the home page anymore, just look up the word Galveston. G-A-L-V-E-S-T-O-N, as in Galveston, Texas. Because we discuss a fascinating book by a fascinating author called Eric Larson, who wrote many, many good books. And the key to the Eric Larson books is they're all meticulously documented with not only fascinating history that really is important to know, but also he puts trivial things in there, these details that make the stories absolutely fascinating. So it's called Isaac's Storm by Eric Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N. And one of the details of the storm he points out is that there's a, we all know that there's a something called the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream that brings tropical waters from the Caribbean south of Florida, and it's almost like a river inside the ocean that brings warm water right up to Iceland and right up to England and Ireland, which explains why those countries could be as warm as they are hardly ever snows in England and Ireland because of the warm water of the Gulf Stream. But the little detail that comes out in Eric Larson's book is that there's a part of the Gulf Stream called the Loop. And the Loop is very warm water that breaks off from the Gulf Stream, and it runs in between Florida and Cuba. It goes right by Key West, for anyone who ever went swimming in Key West. And it's only about maybe 20 or 30 miles wide, this part of this super warm water called the Loop. And that warm water, again, runs between Cuba and Florida. It goes into the Gulf of Mexico like a river. And one thing that weather experts learned 100 years ago with this Galveston hurricane. This Galveston hurricane was a ordinary tropical storm, and it brought some high wind and thunderstorms to Cuba on September 5th or 6th of 1900. And then the storm left Cuba and it disappeared, and nobody knew what happened to the storm. And then 3 or 4 days later, that storm showed up in Galveston, Texas, and it had a 20 to 25 foot storm surge, and it killed about anywhere from 6,000 to 18,000 people. And there's a well-known folk song, while we're talking about folk songs, by Tom Rush. And I forget, some other people sang that song, and we have those on our website as well, called Wasn't It a Mighty Storm? Killed 6,000 to 18,000 people with a big storm surge. And when they studied how that ordinary tropical storm could explode into such a deadly killer storm so quickly, they found out that in a very rare situation, if a storm, a hurricane, which again is only 30 or 40 miles wide, is the center of the hurricane, if that sort of rides along this warm water stream called the Loop of the Gulf Stream, it could turn from an ordinary tropical storm into a deadly killer monster storm in less than 12 hours. And that's what happened to the Galveston hurricane of 1900. That's what happened to the what they called Hurricane Laura of 2020, which was a deadly storm that hit Texas. And that's what happened to Hurricane Ian. But yet you won't read any media accounts talking about the Loop, about that strange or very limited current of warm water that could turn a tropical storm into a deadly hurricane, killer monster hurricane, Category 5 overnight. And the reason that they won't tell you that, they won't teach it in school, because they're all promoting the false doctrine of climate change. And the false doctrine of climate change is there's going to be a catastrophe, that the catastrophe is our fault, and therefore we have to stop driving cars, we have to blow up our power plants like at Beasley's Point, we have to depend on unreliable and expensive wind energy, which really is fake energy, and the solar panels that don't work, and we have to completely cripple our economy. And who does that benefit? Why, it benefits Communist China. Communist China, which is building coal mines and coal plants and oil wells and doing everything they can to power up with fossil fuels while they destroy our economy, and we're playing right into that. And to make matters even worse, we now in New Jersey, thanks to Governor Phil Murphy, it's mandatory to teach this garbage in every public school in New Jersey. It's called the climate change agenda, which along with explicit sex, the climate agenda, the fake Black Lives Matter agenda, and the fake history agenda, and the fake Holocaust agenda that doesn't recognize that socialism is the root of the Holocaust and Nazism, well, teaching lies to our children in elementary school. I'm out of time, and thank you for the opportunity to guest host for you. And please keep in touch through libertyandprosperity.com. I'm Seth Grossman. Have a great week.
WOND Pleasantville.
W223CO Atlantic City.
64 degrees, some rain at Longport Media in Lynnwood. News is next.